Suicide is one of the leading causes of death in young Australians, and society feels more should be done to promote public outreach services. So Lifeline is trialling a new online chat service with the hope of helping more people in crisis. By coming up with a program that's similar to an online chat forum, it is thought that this tech-savvy approach will appeal to the younger generation. But according to some mental health experts, the internet can be both friend and foe. Ellie Schneider looked into these issues, beginning by asking the spokesman of Lifeline, Chris Wagner, how the service intends to work.
So what we wanted to do was provide them with something that was very similar to our telephone counselling service on 13 11 14. So this in itself is actually very similar. So what it is, it's a form of instant message chat, and it's one-on-one with a trained support person who's going to help you get through your crisis, whatever it may be, in very much the same way and in very much the same style that we do on the telephone.
Why hasn't this initiative been introduced earlier?
I think it's just a matter of recognising that there is a need in the community, matching it up with recognising that there's actually a way that it can be done online, and then also, of course, matching it up with some funding to actually get it done. So Lifeline's been very interested in this area for some time now. We've been very interested in looking at how we can provide crisis support online. We've worked out how we can do it. We worked out that there are people who can help us do it. And now we've actually got some support from some of our corporate founders, funders, and some parts of the government. We're actually able to run this trial. So we're very excited.
How would Lifeline manage a situation of too much traffic to the online service? What tech support is in place?
Well, see, what we've got here is very much like our telephone service. There are going to be peaks and troughs in terms of traffic. So there are times, just like when you go to the emergency department of any busy hospital, in fact, any hospital in the world, there are times when the emergency department is busy and there are times when it's not so busy. And during those busy times, you may find that you might have to wait a while. That's much like in our telephone service, and this is much the same with our online counselling service. So we have a dedicated resources that are there, counsellors there who are ready and ready to take people and help people through the process. But if there is a bit of a wait, you will go into a queue and you'll just have to wait. But the question you have to ask yourself is, how long do you wait to get an appointment with a psychologist? How long will you wait in emergency? And we find that people are waiting on average a couple of minutes, and we think that's pretty good.
With the initiative introduced in 2011, was this a result of an expected NBN?
No, but we can certainly see that there is some value in the NBN. We know that so far we've had a lot of young people, and we've also had a lot of people out of rural and regional Australia. And so we know that there is certainly some scope for some sort of a national network that provides people with high-speed internet access, because we know that there are people certainly out in the rural and the regional areas of Australia, as well as the metro areas, who are going to need a service like this sort of online support. So that's why any sort of government-based national network is going to be a good thing.
Lifeline support service is a trial. How will you judge whether the trial is successful?
So we'll go through the usual assessment periods at the end of the trial. We'll go through a whole range of vigorous evaluation processes to see if the trial was successful, but also to ascertain who used the service, why they used the service, how we can make sure that the service is tailored to the sort of people we're expecting to come into it. And then we're hoping that once we've got some good data and we've got some good proof that it was a good service, which we feel it will be, and it was well used, which we feel it will be, then we'll be able to go out to the rest of the community and say, help us supply this to the people in need.
Currently, the online service is only available from 8 p.m. until midnight. Mm-hmm. Will these hours be extended? And also, is that targeting a specific demographic?
We know that our telephone service is the most busy between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning. That's a peak traffic time for our phone service. So that's why we thought that this would probably be similar in terms of the online world. We seem to be correct at that at this stage, although it is very early in the trial. It's really important for us to be able to make a really good judgment on how the trial works, and that's just the time that we selected. We don't know what it's going to look like in the future. That's why we're having a trial, so we can ascertain what is the best time and see if we can indeed go 24 hours like our phone services.
Has the rise of cyberbullying increased the need for online support through times of crisis?
We want people to be able to get help in that same space that they're being bullied, so that they, you know, so we can counteract this sort of growing abhorrent behaviour on the internet.
Dr. Keith Harris, director of the Suicide Study Group, says that while new ways of giving help should be explored, there is still an advantage in seeing a mental health professional.
You gain so much knowledge when you see somebody's body language, the gestures, the tone of their voice. It's much easier to establish a good therapeutic relationship, and we don't want to give that up. But the advantage is many of these people would never go to a clinic anyway.
What are the dangers of online support?
A lot of the support that is out there is peer-to-peer. Due to its nature of being anonymous and these not being mental health professionals, there are people who are maybe in some way disturbed who might encourage someone, let's say, to make a suicide attempt or to do something else that's dangerous to their life, or just kind of orient them in the wrong direction, or, of course, there are many reports of online bullying. And this does sometimes happen even in a support chat group.
How will the means of communicating need to be changed due to the language of the chat room?
My solution to that is to offer different types of communication. A good online support site should have email. They should also have live chat offered, and also, of course, have the option of, let's say, telephone support, etc. Mental health professionals need to learn to make best use of this medium, and many of them don't really understand it as well as they might think. There is some training that needs to be done, as well as improved knowledge of not just how to use a chat board, but also how to best reach out to people in that way, and also who is more likely to come online, you know, what types of potential clients or whatever, and why are they online and not offline. And I think there are very important differences.
Is there any danger in using volunteers rather than mental health experts?
There has to be some training and some monitoring, and it is a limited role.
The director of the Suicide Study Group, that was Dr. Keith Harris, ending that report from Ellie Schneider. And don't forget that if you ever need to talk to someone, you can always call Lifeline on 13 11 44.